in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. In normal times, the month of April in athletics means marathons galore, with many high-profile events, which would also have given us form pointers for the Tokyo Olympics. Now we're dealing with a very different scenario because of the coronavirus pandemic. But the hiatus does give us a chance to reflect on what makes the great ones great. Our energetic Sunny Side of Sports contributor in London, Andy Edwards, has once more been ruminating as he brews another pot of tea in his kitchen. And Andy wants to discuss what makes Eliud Kipchoge the Olympic champion and world record holder in the marathon. Sporty greetings from Washington, Andy.
Greetings from London, Sonny. And why do I want to discuss the great Eliud Kipchoge? Well, it's because I think he's the ideal example of why a champion is strong in both mind and body. Over the years in the cause of the Sunny Side of Sports, I've interviewed him, and I've reached the conclusion that the spark, the essence of this man, is not only big physical ability, but the awareness of when to allow the mind to rest and just cruise in a lower gear. You know, sometimes as a journalist, you find yourself asking an obvious question, which has been put many times before, and yet you feel, well, I've got to ask it. I'll give you an example. After his wins in London and the world record in Berlin, we've done interviews, and I felt I've had to ask, can you run even faster, and so on. It can be a bit of a bore, a bit of a yawn, but you feel, well, I've got to put that question. And his answer is always, I'm not thinking about that or any race right now. And we're usually talking the day after the race. And Eliud says, I'm thinking solely about my recovery. And then I shall gradually build for the next challenge. But at present, I don't even think about it at all. I think about just rest. Now, Eliud Kipchoge may not be the only top athlete to follow this approach, but I find the way he expresses it sets him apart. Listen, for example, to him speaking to me before the London Marathon in 2018, and he talks about the mental aspect and also about the influence of his longtime coach, Patrick Sang.
Mental is really important. They share 50%, 50-50 with the physical. You cannot be physically fit and psychologically poor.
How important is your coach, Patrick Sang? I know you've known each other for many years, so you live close together in the same kind of village. How important is he now, given you're Olympic champion?
He's really very important. He's my life coach and my sports coach.
Andy, there have been other African greats of distance running. I'm thinking, for example, of Abebe Bikila, twice winner of the Olympic marathon, his fellow Ethiopian Kenenisa Bekele in modern times, and this great Kenyan runner.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
And Andy, let's not forget the man who replaced Paul Tergat as world record holder in the marathon, Haile Gebrselassie. Andy, do you think they also had this ability to distribute their mental and physical energy in the same way?
I think they did, but what strikes me about Eliud Kipchoge is that he's very much the marathoner supreme for the modern era, equipped to cope with the commercial demands, as well as the age-old challenge of training and competition. I was struck by reading an interview with Jos Hermans a couple of years ago, his manager and the owner of the global sports management company who guides many of the world's top athletes. Hermans, a former international runner himself for the Netherlands, said that Eliud Kipchoge was distinct from any other top Kenyan he'd worked with. As an example, he said that when they discussed training plans, Eliud would often send him lengthy emails, pages of them, outlining his thoughts. It was definitely not a case of, oh, well, thanks for the training schedule and I'll follow it. In addition, there are the commercial aspects of breaking new ground in athletics. Let's look at the success of the INEOS 159 project last October in Vienna, when Eliud Kipchoge broke 2 hours for the marathon distance. And that came after he went so close on the Monza Formula One circuit in Italy in 2017. Kipchoge and the management team around Jos Hermans are ready to embrace new ideas, new concepts. And here's Eliud talking after winning the London Marathon in 2019, how he sees the approach to the marathon as an event and race changing. And he's at the forefront of these changes.
I can say the future of marathon actually is going towards the team one. We have started ourselves. I'm among the team for N and running. And I can value team very much, can train very well, can go and compete actually in near to your fans, you can meet your fans. But I think my dream is to see that marathon will be a team, if and whereby they will be actually announcing the best team, like the way in Formula One they are announcing the constructors team, like the way in cycling they will be actually competing as far as team is concerned.
The traditional image of the runner is almost, well, it may be different in Kenya, but as a lonely person. In the West, it's someone who, had, before the running boom, would go out and be running on their own. But the Kenyan, and indeed the Ethiopian approach, is very much a collective team strong point. Do you feel that gives you mental as well as physical strength?
Absolutely. If you come together, that's actually a positive for the mind. That I can say is both physical and both mental is actually going together, and the team plays a big role on that.
That's Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya talking after he won the London Marathon title last year. Now the race in London, like many of the top spring marathons, will be taking place in the autumn on Sunday, October 4th. Eliud and Kenenisa Bekele should be on the start line in what will be one of the most eagerly awaited distance races of the year. Andy, will the mind be the decisive factor in deciding who emerges victorious in London?
Allowing for the adjustments that both men and their rivals will have had to make because of postponement and adapting their training schedules and venues because of the pandemic, we are going to see two of the best ever distance runners on the start line in this year's London Marathon. Both have immense physical talent, but the winner is likely to be the one who, as the current World Athletics president and Olympic champion Sebastian Coe once said, most important part is the top 9 inches. That is, it's what's in your head on the day which counts.
Thanks, Andy. That's the energetic Andy Edwards speaking with us once again from London.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Make a difference by honoring ordinary people doing extraordinary things to help one another. VOA encourages you to tell us about everyday people who have shown leadership in your communities during the coronavirus crisis. Submit your nominations to VOA Leaders at voanews.com. Send us your name, phone number, and email, and a VOA reporter will contact you. We're all in this together.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
Eliud Kipchoge set his world record of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds at the 2018 Berlin Marathon. Organizers in Berlin say this year's race will not be held as planned September 27th. The announcement came after German officials banned all events with at least 5,000 people through October 24th because of the coronavirus pandemic. Elsewhere, USA Track and Field has rescheduled its Olympic trials for June 18th to June 27th, 2021, in the northwest U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. Eugene is also where the next World Athletics Championships will take place in 2022.
Hi, my name is Musa Kida. I'm the president of the Nigerian Basketball Federation. I'm also the Secretary General of Zone 3 FIBA in Africa. I'm also a new member of the FIBA Finance Commission. And I want to say a special shout out to Sunnyside of Sports. Thank you.
The Nigeria Basketball Federation says it's happy about the prospect of Brooklyn Nets point guard Spencer Dinwiddie playing for the country's national team, nicknamed the Tigers. The 27-year-old Dinwiddie was born in Los Angeles, California, and he doesn't have any clear connection to Nigeria. But Spencer says he's in the process of acquiring a Nigeria passport that could see him represent the African nation at next year's Olympics in Tokyo. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted a board member of the Nigeria Basketball Federation, Oni Afolabi.
I think every player all over the world, if you still fall within that bracket as provided by FIBA, has a right to choose who they want to represent, who they want to compete their international career to, whether it's Nigeria, whether it's in the US, and any country that team beat. For us at the Federation, I think it's a testament to what we've been doing so far in to reposition Nigerian basketball and give the game in Nigeria and outside the country a new name, rebrand it, and make it attractive to players, investors, and also relative stakeholders to come and partner with what we are doing. And I think this is just one of the many that we see in the next few months or few years who are willing to come around and be a part of the project right going on right now in Nigerian basketball landscape.
Do you also think that Spencer's presence in the Tigers squad will improve the fortunes of the team?
That question is a technical one, which I believe that in line with the objective of the Federation of giving the coaches a free hand to choose their players, I think they will be in the best positions to decide. And I think for a guy like Mike Brown and Alex Mora, who are proven coaches in their own rights, they know what they need in the team after the assessment of the qualities we have in Europe, America, and also back home in Nigeria. But from early indications on social media, from journalists in Nigeria here, and also fans, I think they're excited about Spencer playing for Nigeria, because if you followed what we did at the World Cup, we could have done better if we had firepower and also cost who can master the game and dictate the pace, and also have know to play with time in line with international basketball. So for me personally, I think I'm excited that a proven player like Spencer, who plays with Brooklyn Nets, has meted the idea of coming around to play for Nigeria, and it's a wake-up call to other Nigerians or Nigerians out there who are making waves, who are in doubt about what to do and how to go about it, because for them to see an American who wants to represent Nigeria, I think they will also be gingered to say, okay, if an American can do it, as a Nigerian, what's something from back home to bring honor to my father?
Has the Nigerian Basketball Federation reached out to some other young Nigerians in the mold of Jordan Wara, young players who are out there abroad doing very well, and even locally, to groom them and bring them to the various national team?
Yeah, if you've been following what we've been doing at the Federation level, Wara started playing for Nigeria at the age of 18 years and some months, and he became the top most scorer in any competitive match for the country, and at such a young age. So the future is bright. The likes of Jimmy Zemetu, Josh Okogie, a lot of them, Jordan Wara, who recently declared for the 2020 NBA draft. We have so many guys in the NCAA. We have guys in the NBA, the likes of Jaleel Okafor, who has also indicated to play for Nigeria. I think it's a change of fortune for us as a country, as a basketball player in Africa, and also at the world stage. In the words of NBBF President Engineer Musa Kida, he said, this is the best time to be alive as a Nigerian basketball player or a supporter because of the recognition that is coming to the country, which I would describe as duly deserved.
That's Oni Afolabi, board member of the Nigeria Basketball Federation, And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporting greetings. My name is Obi Afolabi, a board member of Nigerian Basketball Federation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Thank you.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
My name is Mario Leo. I'm the founder and chief executive of Result Sports. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you, Mario. We enjoyed your insights on Tuesday's show. Mario talked with Iron Mike Mbonye about the social media following of various African football teams. In Olympic news, some infectious disease experts say organizers of the Tokyo Games must be flexible if a coronavirus vaccine is not found in time. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, the Tokyo Olympics were pushed back 1 year, and the Games are now scheduled from July 23rd to August 8th, 2021. With more on a coronavirus vaccine and the Olympics, we're joined once again by my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Vaccines normally take years, if not decades, to develop. But scientists are attempting to create a coronavirus vaccine in a matter of months. Health experts are hoping a vaccine will become available by the middle of next year. But they admit the latter part of the year is a more likely scenario. And with the Tokyo Games now rescheduled for July of 2021, Olympic organizers are being advised to remain flexible. Zach Binney is a sports epidemiologist at Emory University in the United States. He says it would be wise to wait until a vaccine is developed before packing stadiums.
Two people is more dangerous than one, 10 is more dangerous than two, 100 is more dangerous than 10. So it's all along a continuum, but once you get up to 50,000, 70,000, 100,000 for something like college football here in the United States in some stadiums, that's an enormous amount of risk to be taking on without a vaccine.
And Benny says the Olympic Games pose a unique risk due to the influx of visitors from areas with high rates of infection.
Even next year, we're still probably going to have some areas of the world where outbreaks are popping up and there's more transmission than others. So that does make it uniquely risky because that increases the chance that you are bringing somebody in from an area where the infection is rampant, and so they may be more likely to bring it in and spread it around the Olympics. And the other element of risk is that everybody's going home once the Olympics are over, all over the globe.
Jason Kindrachuk is an infectious diseases expert at the University of Manitoba in Canada. He's optimistic that a vaccine will be developed in time for next year's games, but worries it might not be early enough to see if it actually works.
Not only do you have to get everybody vaccinated, but you also have to make sure that the vaccine is taken and that they have decent immune responses. So, I think and you want to get people vaccinated, not right at the point of the Olympics, but a little bit beforehand so they build up that protective immunity. So I think all these things need to be weighed, and, it may lead to some postponement or delay or further delay. But again, I think we have to get through at least probably the next couple of months to really understand whether or not the virus starts to have some resurgence in areas that lift up physical distancing measures to see how susceptible we still are across the globe.
Dr. Kintaro Iwata is an infectious disease specialist at Kobe University in Japan. Last February, he criticized the Japanese government for the way it handled a coronavirus outbreak inside a cruise ship stationed near Tokyo. Now, Dr. Iwata questions the country's ability to control the virus leading up to next year's games.
Japan might be able to control this disease by next summer. And I wish we could, but I don't think that would happen everywhere on Earth. In this regard, I'm very pessimistic about holding Olympic Games in next summer, unless you hold Olympic Games in a totally different structure, such as no audience or a very limited participations or such and such.
As health experts continue to debate whether the coronavirus outbreak will further delay the Olympic Games, Dr. Brian McCloskey says the argument itself is premature.
Yeah, we've got 15 months more of planning and preparing for the Olympics in 2021. We've got 15 months to see how the outbreak evolves. So I think it's premature to say it's unrealistic. Clearly, having a vaccine would be extremely helpful, not just for the Olympics, but for all of us. But even without a vaccine, I think there are other mitigation measures we will look at to make sure we can run the game safely. So it's a challenge, but I'd say it's too soon to say it can't happen.
Dr. McCloskey is an expert on global health security and outbreak prevention. And he reminds us this is not the first time the Olympics have been staged during a health crisis.
We need to remember, you know, that previously we've run the Rio Olympics during a public health emergency for Zika. We ran the Vancouver Winter Olympics during the pandemic flu public health emergency. You know, so we have experience where this can be done. This year for Tokyo, it got to the point where the amount of mitigation that would have been needed was more than we could ask the Japanese government to do when the Japanese government needed to be focusing on looking after its population. But that could well have changed by next year. So it's quite possible that the outbreak will be at a level where it's manageable without any particular risk. Or it may be that the vaccine arrives and maybe there's treatment available. So we just need to think through the options and not jump to too many conclusions too quickly.
The coronavirus has infected over 2 million people worldwide and killed more than 150,000. In Japan, the number of confirmed cases is over 10,000, with nearly 200 deaths. As sports leagues and federations around the world continue to discuss how to resume during the pandemic, Tokyo organizers and the IOC are focused on delivering next year's games. In response to questions about any further delays, Olympic Committee spokesman Masa Takaya issued a statement that read, in part, "We do not feel it is appropriate to respond to speculative questions. With regard to countermeasures against COVID-19, Tokyo 2020 and the IOC have a framework for information exchange and are cooperating closely with the World Health Organization. We will continue to work deeply with relevant organizations and review all necessary countermeasures." And that is all from me for now. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to this Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Hall of Fame basketball player Spencer Haywood. Spencer was born April 22, 1949, in the southern U.S. state of Mississippi. Spencer Haywood won an Olympic gold medal with the USA team in 1968. And 12 years later, Spencer won an NBA title with the Los Angeles Lakers. Spencer Haywood played the power forward position, and he was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame 5 years ago. And that wraps up the April 22nd edition of the show. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thank you for tuning in. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.